Well, thanks, Barry. Welcome, everyone. It's just so good to be together again and just to be able to share something of Father's love together. I'm just amazed at what happens through these webcasts. Just people receiving. It's just so amazing to hear stories and testimonies. And Barry and I get occasional emails from some of you guys, some of the folk who've been on the webcast, and it's just incredible what Father does in people's hearts. And the thing about it is, it's just so real because it's him and you. When you have a meeting, someone might lay hands on you, and maybe there's an impartation, maybe there's an anointing. But this webcast is just you sitting in your spare room and Father talking to you and just touching your heart. And it's just so exciting to hear what's going on around the world. It's just a brilliant occasion and opportunity just to share something of his love and to be able to encourage one another. I've just been thinking about the heart over the last few weeks. I guess I've done a couple of A schools, and on an A school, many of you will know, one of the things we talk a lot about is our heart and the fact that it's into our heart that God pours his love. And we talk a lot about the heart because it's important. And we talk about it a lot because many of us have areas of our heart that have closed down for a number of reasons. And I want to look at that a little bit later this evening. But the Father doesn't want to leave us like that. He wants to come and open our hearts. He wants to heal our hearts, but then I think more importantly, he wants to pour his love into our hearts so that once he's poured his love into our hearts, we can really begin to live in love. And it's like, he loves to heal, but I think, he doesn't heal just for the sake of healing. He heals in order to make a space, make a place for his love to come and make a home. And that's what then gives us, this ability to live in love and to walk as Jesus walked. So I've really been thinking a lot about the heart lately. When I was in Uganda a few weeks ago, there was a young lady on the school, and I could just see that she'd suffered a lot of pain and a lot of wounding and a lot of damage. And it made me both sad and cross at the same time. It made me very sad that we live in this broken world where we hurt and wound one another. But it made me very cross that people seemingly so close to someone else could just cause that wounding and that pain. But halfway through the week, I just really felt Father say to me, go and offer to pray for her. Go and ask her if she can be a little girl who needs to be loved. And so halfway through the week, I just went over and I just knelt on the floor by her side and I said, "Can you just be a little girl who needs to be loved?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, look, when you're ready, I'd love to pray for you." Well, by the end of the week, she'd got to the place where she just got to the end of herself, and I was just able to pray and ask the Father to take my arms and make them his arms and just to pour his love into her heart. And she just said after that, she just said it was like she'd been brought into a safe place, and Father had really done something incredibly deep in her heart. And I think for people like Barry and John and I who go around and have the privilege of ministering the Father's love, that's kind of like just what it's about. It doesn't matter whether you've got 20 people in the room or 50 people in the room or 200 people in the room. At the end of the day, you're dealing with the individual, you're dealing with the one. And if one person can open their heart up and let Father do something, for me, that just makes it worthwhile. And the wonderful thing is, when we do the schools, it's not just one, but it's several people who will get to that place where they can say, "Yeah, I've closed my heart. I want to open it up. I want to receive healing, but more than that, I want the love of the Father to fill my heart. And that's why we spend a lot of time on the schools talking about opening our heart. We talk about blockages like unforgiveness. We talk about recovering the heart of sonship. Because what we want to see people come into is this place where their heart can be filled with the love of the Father. Because for me, that's what it's all about. That's been my experience. That's been my testimony. That's been the journey that I've been on. I know that over the last 11 years that my Heavenly Father has healed my heart. And that's been something so wonderful to experience. But as I've just gone on, and I know Barry would say the same thing, it's like, you know, the healing of the heart is a means to an end. And the end is that place that has been broken and closed can be filled with the love of the Father. And then that leads you into a whole new thing of your inheritance and your identity and, you know, just beginning to understand what it means to walk as Jesus walked. So, you know, the healing of our heart is like so important and so crucial. But I'm just beginning to see that it's really the means to the end, and the goal and the journey is to live in love and to allow the Father to pour his extravagant love into our hearts, which is just wonderful. So I just want to talk a little bit about the heart tonight. And just to start in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, where Paul writes that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, that having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now that translation I've used there says, you know, that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened. Now, most translations say that the eyes of our heart might be opened. And what Paul is praying there very, very simply is that, you know, we need to be able to see with our heart what Father is doing. You know, most of us spend our time seeing with our mind and understanding with our mind and gaining knowledge. And, you know, none of that's bad, but it doesn't touch the core of who we are. And that's why Paul prays that the eyes of our heart would be opened so that we would know what we have been called to. And I would add there that we would know what we've been called to be, that we would know who we've been called to be, which of course is to be his sons and daughters. And Paul recognizes something here that's really, really important. And I think it's something that maybe many of us will have missed for a number of years. Maybe many of us are missing now. That's if we're to fully understand what Father wants to do with us, we need to be able to see with the eyes of our heart. You know, our mind is good and we need it. It's incredibly valuable, but we cannot fully grasp the relationship and the inheritance that God has for us if we leave it in the mind. If we're going to fully grasp who we are, if we're going to fully grasp our inheritance, if we're going to fully grasp what God has called us to, then we need to allow the eyes of our heart to be opened. We need to be able to see with our heart. I've really come to understand that our heart is central to everything. I think I probably spent too much of my life living from my mind and trying to understand it and gain knowledge and gain, you know, earthly wisdom. And all of that's good, but it keeps things at a superficial level. And when we understand and we see things in our heart, it goes so much deeper. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that it's into our hearts that God pours his love through the Holy Spirit. It's like, and I'm beginning to see that baptism in the Spirit is not just about a charismatic impartation of being able to speak in tongues and receiving the gifts of the Spirit, which is good and all of us need it. But I'm really beginning to see that what baptism in the Holy Spirit really is being baptized into sonship through the love of God. That when Paul writes that it's through the Holy Spirit that the Father pours his love into our hearts, he's saying something incredibly profound. He's saying when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, when you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, when you receive the life of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, what you're receiving is the love of the Father. And I think we've missed that. We've concentrated on the gifts, we've concentrated on the fruit, we've concentrated on the power, we've concentrated on the joy, all of which are vital, important, and every one of us needs to experience them. But Paul writes here, because he's caught hold of something of God's heart, he writes that God pours his love into our heart through the Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4, he writes that when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we have the Spirit of sonship that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. You know, what he's really saying there is we can say, God, you really are my dad. That's what Jesus talked about in John chapter 14. He said, I'm going back to my Father, but I'm going to send you another comforter or another counselor to be with you forever. And he says, this is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that you know, John 14, verse 18, that you are not orphans. See, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of sonship. And that enables our hearts to cry, God, you really are my dad. You know, that's what deals with the orphan emptiness of our hearts. And, you know, that's why I'm kind of getting ahead of myself now, but, you know, that's okay. That's why our heart is so important. It's so central to everything. And that's why the more and more and more we can open it up, the more we can receive of the Father's love. And the more we can receive of the Father's love, the more we can walk as Jesus walked. And the more we have the love of the Father in our hearts, the more we are able to say, God, you really are my dad. You know, Abba, Abba Father. But the trouble is, and many of us will know this, probably all of us will know this, and maybe some of us will know it to a greater extent than others of us, but our heart is very fragile. It's very, very sensitive. It's very easily wounded. And, you know, this girl I was telling you about in Uganda, you know, her heart had been wounded. I mean, like, just messed up. You know, as I said, it makes me sad and cross at the same time that sort of thing happens. But, you know, her heart had been wounded. And because our hearts are so sensitive and fragile, and many of you will understand this, many of you will identify with exactly what I'm saying, is that because our heart is so sensitive, when it's wounded, we close it off. We lock that part of our heart away. And we do it for a very, very good reason. We close our heart because we want to protect our heart. You know, we've been wounded once, we've been hurt, we've had pain poured upon us. And we say, I don't want to go there. I don't want any more of that. I've had enough of that. So in order to protect ourselves, we shut our heart down. We close it. And that's what I did the first night I was in boarding school. I chose to close my heart. Something happened on the first night in boarding school. And one of the other guys, I was in this dormitory of 14 boys, all with their own stuff, all messed up. And I was just in this room with 13 other guys. And you know, something was going on. And one of the guys said, Mark, he said, if you do that, you will be teased. People will take the mickey out of you. So I lay there in bed that first night of boarding school, a young boy of 12 years old, and I chose to close my heart. I did it deliberately. I knew what I was doing, but I did it because I wanted to protect my heart. I didn't want my heart to be hurt. And, you know, that's, I hate to say this, but that's 40 years ago. But it's only in the last 10 years that God has brought healing to that part of my heart that was closed, and he's opened it up. I've allowed him to open it up, and I know he's healed it, but I also know that he's filled it with his love. And, you know, I don't want to make light of this, because I know some of you will have suffered a lot of heavy duty pain and really been wounded very, very deeply. And you know what it's like to suffer that intense pain. You know what it's like to suffer that intense rejection. You know what it's like to be abused on every level. And that little tender heart that's within inside each one of us is just wounded. And, I understand that. But when we close our hearts, we close it to protect it. We close it to put a barrier to stop other people trampling on it. But inevitably and sadly, we also close it to our Heavenly Father. Because a closed heart is closed to everybody. It's closed to our friends, it's closed to our family, it's closed to those people who have wounded us. But it's also closed to our Heavenly Father. But the good news is that there's always an invitation to open our heart and let the Father heal it and fill it with his love. Now, the Holy Spirit is not an unwelcome guest. He's certainly not a bully. You know, he's not going to force his way in and demand to be given a place. He's going to woo you and draw you and invite you to come. And he's going to invite you to take that step of opening up. And only then will he come in and heal, and will he come in and fill with love. But he's not going to trample over you. He's not going to demand that you open your heart. He's just going to give you an invitation. It says in Hosea that he draws us with cords of loving kindness. It's like he doesn't put a great big rope round us and yank us, but he just wraps this soft blanket around us and just draws us gently to himself. The Holy Spirit is always very gentle. He's always, he's polite. He wants to wait until there's an opening. But there's always this invitation. And I think, you know, the problem that we perceive, I think, is that, and there's a lot of reality in this, that if we're going to open our heart up, we've got to go to the place of pain. You know, not only do we have to go to the place of pain, but we have to go through the pain, because that's how we get our healing. And so there's always this little bit of doubt in our mind that says, is it safe? Is it okay? Is it going to be okay to let the Father come and love me? And one of the blockages we have is we view God like we view our earthly father. We view God like we view our friends. And if our earthly father, if our earthly mother, if our friends, if our school teachers, if those people in authority have abused us and wounded us and hurt us, then the tendency, the very real tendency, is we look at our Heavenly Father in the same way. And we think that he will treat us the same way as other people have treated us. We think that he will abuse our hearts, he will wound our hearts, he will just add more pain to the pain we're already feeling. And of course, he's not like that. You know, he's so gentle and loving and kind, but we have this blockage that has this perception that it's just going to be like everything else we've experienced. And, you know, it's not like that. When Jesus was at the well in Samaria, he meets a lady. Now, the lady was getting the water at lunchtime, middle of the day. It was the hottest time of the day. It was the time of the day that it was only sensible to stay inside, be in the shade, be somewhere cool. But this lady was getting water from the well at the hottest time of the day. And the reason she did that was because she was so full of shame. You know, she wanted to go out of her house when no one would see her, when no one else would be around. She was full of shame because of what her life was like. You know, she'd been through so many husbands. She was living with someone. Her heart was probably broken. She'd been damaged by all these broken relationships. And so she goes out of her house to get some water at the hottest time of the day. And of course, Jesus is there. And he doesn't talk about the external things about her life. He doesn't talk about the stuff that's going on. He goes straight to the heart. He goes straight to the core of her very being. And he makes her an offer that she can't refuse. He says to her, I can give you living water. I can give you something that will cause your life to be completely transformed and turned around. I can give you something that will be life to you instead of the death and the pain and all the brokenness that you're carrying around. And Jesus says to this woman, I've got something good for you. And that's exactly what the Father says to each one of us this evening. That's a promise, you know, I'll guarantee that one to you. The Father has something good to give you. He's not coming to accuse, he's not coming to condemn, he's not coming to create more pain. He's coming to take that pain away and give you something better. And what he's offering you, what he wants to give you, is the abundant life that Jesus talked about. See, Jesus met that woman and his disciples weren't around. There was no one else, it was just him and her. And he talks right to her heart. He talks right at the core of her feelings. He talks right into the place of that wounding and he says, I have an answer for you. And that's what the Father is saying to each one of us this evening. He's saying, I have an answer for you. I've got an answer for you. And that answer is life. It's abundant life. It's wonderful. It's good. And, you know, that's what I believe is on offer for us this evening. See, whenever Jesus comes to us, he offers us relationship and life. He doesn't offer us a set of rules. He doesn't offer us an ideology. He doesn't offer us religion, but he offers us life. And he says that life is found in him and it's found in his Father. And he comes to us to introduce us to his Father. And he said, you know, what is... He's introducing us to the person who wants to fill our hearts with love through the Holy Spirit. He's introducing us to, you know, our Heavenly Dad. And he's saying, this is the answer for your life. This is the thing that will sort everything. You know, if you can open up your heart and allow my Father to fill your heart with his love, then you will be totally transformed. That's what's on offer. That's what our Father is giving us. That's what Jesus is offering to each one of us. He's saying to each one of us that if we will open our hearts, then his Father will fill them with love. And the Father will fill as much of our hearts as we open up to him. You know, the more we open up, the more we can be filled. But the problem is that we've believed a lie. Now, we've got a good reason for believing that lie, because it's actually in Scripture. The problem is we've taken Scripture out of context and we've not looked at the whole of Scripture. But it's very easy to look at these verses I've put on the screen here, and it's very easy for people to interpret those in the wrong light, in a way that is accusing and condemning, that leads us to this place of believing that there is no hope. See, we read Jeremiah 17 verse 9 and it says the heart is deceitful above everything else. You know, that's what it says in the Bible. That, in a sense, that's true. But it's not the whole story. It's not anything like the whole story. You know, in Ezekiel 11 verse 19, it says, you know, he wants to change a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. It's true, but it's not the whole story. In Matthew, Jesus accused, he says, you brood of vipers, which is not a very friendly term of talking to people. He says, but, you know, it's out of your evil hearts that your mouth speaks. What is in our hearts comes out of our mouth. And it's very easy to read that and think, this isn't very good news. There's not a lot of hope for us. And the problem is that's just not the whole story. That's just a little bit of the story, because, you know, the rest of the story goes on, is something else, which we'll come on to in a few minutes. Last week, Barry spoke about the two sons in Luke chapter 15. One of the key things that had happened in that story is both of the sons had closed their heart. They'd both closed their heart to their father, but they'd also closed their heart to each other. You see, that's the thing. Whenever we close our heart, it always affects relationship. When we close our heart, it affects our relationships with our friends, our family, our husband, our wife, our pastor, our parents. Because a closed heart always destroys relationship. And these two sons had closed their heart and neither of them could enjoy relationship with their father. One of them half came to his senses. He realized he was in a mess. He realized that it wasn't much fun being in the pig pen. And he decided to come home. But he decided to come home as a servant. And, you know, that's all he could cope with. That was the extent of his revelation, if you like. He said, I'll go home, but I'll go home as a servant. The other one, we don't really know what had happened, but he closed his heart so much that he couldn't even have relationship with his father, despite living in the same place, despite living in the same house. See, these two guys had closed their heart, and in closing their heart, they had destroyed relationship. You know, the consequence of that decision or that choice or whatever had happened was they had no relationship with their dad. And that's what happens to us when we close our heart, is we lose relationship. Now, our heart might have been closed because of the pain and the wounding that we've gone through or we've experienced, or things that the abuse that has been done to us. But nonetheless, we're always going to lose relationship, because it's the natural consequence of a closed heart. Not only does it affect relationship with our parents or our brothers and sisters, our husbands or wives, our work colleagues, our friends, people in the church, it does. It affects our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And, you know, that's why God says, I don't want to leave you like that. I want to come to you and pour my spirit into your heart so that you know that you're not an orphan, so that you know that you're my sons or daughters. And he knows to take us to that place where we're fully filled with love and where we're fully living in love and where we're walking as Jesus walked. To get to that place, we have to go through the place of pain, because that's the only way. It's only as we open our hearts and we go to that place that he can heal us. and bring restoration. When we have a closed heart, something in us has died. Instead of the life that Jesus talks about, instead of that life that he talked to that woman at the well about, something inside of us is dead. That's why in Luke chapter 15, when the father is talking to the older son, he says, "Look, your brother was dead, but is now alive." You see, something in the younger son had died when he'd walked away. He'd closed his heart. Something of relationship had died, but he'd come back. The father had reinstated him into the family. The father had put the robe around him, the ring on his finger, the sandals on his feet. He'd kissed him. He'd embraced him. He'd said, "You're my son. You're my beloved." And something in that young man came alive again. See, if you read Luke 15, when the older brother talks to the father, he says, "This son of yours." He doesn't even acknowledge that it's his brother. See, his heart is so closed that he can't even recognize that that relationship exists. He doesn't want to be identified with his brother. And so he says, "It's this son of yours." You know, it's like he's distancing it, he's putting it out there. He's saying, "It's nothing to do with me. He's your son." But when the father talks to the older brother, he says, "This is your brother. This is relationship. I've restored him as my son." And I think the older brother, I think the father is inviting the older son to receive him back as his brother. See, the older son said, "It's your son. It's nothing to do with me." And the father comes and said, "This is your brother. He was dead, but is now alive." See, when our hearts are opened and healed and relationship is restored, something comes alive in us. And that's so wonderful. And I know we're talking about closed hearts, and I know we're talking about opening them up. And I know that when we open them up, it touches that rawness inside us. But just remember that what Father is offering is life, and it's good, and it's wholeness, and it leads us to that place where we are filled with his love through the Holy Spirit that enables us to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. And what we get is much better than what we had. When we allow ourselves to go through that and we receive our healing and then we are filled with love, we get something way, way better. It makes it worthwhile. It might be painful. It might take a period of time. It may take months or even years to fully walk through it. But what we get is better than what we leave behind. We've got an enemy. We've got someone who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Jesus said so clearly in, I think it's John chapter 10. Jesus says, you know, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to attack our hearts and destroy anything of the life that God wants to put us. He wants to make us believe that a closed heart is the best thing we can have. He wants to destroy our relationship with the Father in exactly the same way as he tried to destroy Jesus' relationship with the Father. All he can do is rubbish. All he can do is steal. All he can do is kill. All he can do is destroy. All he can do is take away the good things that the Father wants to do in your hearts. He's a loser. And I just want to really encourage you not to give him any room, because, you know, he just wants to try and destroy everything that God is doing in your heart. He wants to take away the life that Jesus offers. When Jesus went to that woman by the well, he said, "I've got what you need. I've got the answer to your life." And that's what Jesus offers us tonight. He says, "I've got the answer. to your life? The answer is to be filled with the love of the Father. And Satan wants to try and steal that away from you. And my encouragement is, don't let him. Because he's a loser. He's lost the battle. He's lost the war. Let's let it, you know, let's focus on what is good. Focus on what will lead us to life. Focus on what will give us the abundant life. You see, Jesus said that we've got an enemy that steals, kills and destroys. But he says, I have come that you might have life. See, Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life to the full. Abundant life. What he's offering us is abundant life. You know, not half-baked, not a half measure, but abundant, glorious, wonderful life. And, you know, I would rather focus on that and look into the glorious future that my Father has for me and say, I want that life. I want that answer. I want the very thing that Jesus says will give me what I need. And I want to encourage you this evening to look ahead and say, yes, that's what I want. I want life and life to the full. I want abundant life. I want the life that Jesus was talking to that woman at the well about. The writer to the Proverbs says we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our heart. That doesn't mean to say there's a big difference between guarding a heart and closing a heart. When we close a heart, it's shut, it's locked. The love of the Father can't get in. It's a broken, desperate place. It's the thing that Jesus wants to come and set us free from and give us life. But as we open our heart, it's also very fragile. It's also very tender. It's like a young plant that needs a lot of nurture and a lot of caring for. It needs to be planted in a safe place before you put it in the garden. And when the writer to the Proverbs says we have to guard our hearts, what he's saying is you open them up, but then you protect it from the attacks of the enemy. You nurture it. You keep it in a safe place. You make sure that it's like that young little plant that is cared for and given all the food and nutrients that it needs in order to grow. It's not closed, it's open, but it's vulnerable. And as God takes us on this journey of healing, as our hearts are opened and as he heals us and as he pours his love into our hearts, we are vulnerable, we are fragile, we are delicate. And that's why we have to guard our hearts. That's why we have to look at how we can protect it to stop the enemy coming and destroying what the Father is doing. See, whatever state our hearts are in, they're always going to be fragile. You know, they're wounded because they're fragile. And when we come into healing, when we come into wholeness, when we come into the glorious freedom as the sons of God, our hearts are still fragile. And we have to nurture them and tend them and care for them and protect them. That's what the writer to the Proverbs is talking about. You know, if we're going to live in love, we need an open heart. A closed heart puts barriers around that shut people out. They shut the redemptive work of love out. That's very, very different to guarding a heart. You know, it's just two different things. An open heart opens a way for us to know the hope of our calling. That's what, you know, Paul wrote in, we read those verses from Ephesians, that the eyes of our heart would be opened in order that we can know the hope of what God has called us to. See, God has called each one of you to be a son or to be a daughter. He's called you into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. He's called you into the glorious freedom of the daughters of God. He's called you to live a life like Jesus lived his life. He's called us to walk as Jesus walked. He's given us this wonderful inheritance. And Paul writes that as the eyes of our heart are open, so we can understand we can see the picture of what God has before us. You know, we're not trapped in our own small, limited view of life, but we can see this glorious place, this glorious freedom. There's a verse in Job which I really love, and it says that he has brought us out of the restricted place into the wide open space with good things. And for each one of us, the Father has a good wide open space for you to enjoy. And that's as we open our hearts, you see, that's why I said a few moments ago that healing is the means to an end. Because as our hearts are open, God sees the stuff and he sees the pickle we've made of it all, or what's happened to us, and he heals us because he's a good dad. And then he fills us with his love. And as we are filled with his love, we can suddenly see this wide, open, expansive place that is called us to live in. See, he wants us to live in freedom. He wants us to be free. He doesn't want us to be bound. He doesn't want to be trapped, but he wants us to be completely free. He wants us to live in this wide open space. And that's what Jesus offered us. When Jesus met that woman, he was talking to her, but he was talking to us as well. And he said, I have come to give you living water that will change everything in your life. In John 10, he says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. In John chapter 8, he says, if you know the truth will set you free, and you will be free indeed. He says in John chapter 8 as well, if you're a slave, you don't belong. But when you know that you're a son, or when you know that you're a daughter, you belong to the family forever. And as we open our hearts and allow the Father to pour his love in through the Holy Spirit, it's like there's a door open and we enter this beautiful wide open space that we never believed existed. I just want to end with Romans 5 verse 5, where Paul says hope. See, in Ephesians he says that you would know the hope of your calling. He says, "You, as the eyes of your heart are opened, you would know what you have been called to be. You would know the life you have called to live." And here in Romans 5, he says, hope, this hope of our calling, this hope of who we are, does not put us to shame. Because God's love, the Father's love, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I just want to pray for us, that I know there's pain. I know there's pain. And I know for us to receive our healing, we have to go through that pain. But I just want to pray that the Father would pour his love into our hearts tonight. That he would, the thing, God does both things at the same time. He heals us at the same time as bringing us into freedom. It's like we don't have to wait till one thing is complete. We don't have to wait till our healing is complete before we enter freedom. It's like he does both at the same time. As he heals us, we get freedom. Then he heals us a bit more and we get a bit more freedom. And it's just like he does these two things together. And I understand and I know there's pain. But I know that Jesus is standing before us in the same way as he stood before the woman at the well. And he says, I've got something you need. I've got living water. I've got life that will change you and transform you. And it will put right everything that's gone wrong. So just let me pray and just open your hearts. Maybe just put your hand as I'm praying. Just put your hand on your heart. And just ask, you know, just receive, you know, what I'm praying. And let the Holy Spirit come and do whatever he wants to do. And then I guess Barry will wander back into the room and we'll take it from there. But Father, I thank you. I do thank you, Father, that you're with each person tonight. This afternoon, whatever it is, Father, you're with us. Father, you're with each person. And I just ask you to put your arms around us right now. Father, put your loving arms around each person here. Father, just as Jesus stood in front of that woman at the well and said, I've got what you need. Father, you're standing in front of each one of us and you're saying exactly the same, that you've got what we need. And Father, I know and I recognise that many people here tonight have been deeply wounded by people they should have trusted or should have been able to trust. Father, I realise that many of us have got broken hearts. Many of us have got wounded hearts. Father, I understand that, I recognise that, but Father, I just ask you to come with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. That Father, you would pour your love into the depths of our hearts. Father, we just want to invite you to come in. Father, we invite you to come in. We take that step of faith, because it is a step of faith. It's a step of faith to say, I will trust my Father, that he is only good, that he has only got good things for me. Other people might have hurt me. Other people might have wounded me. Other people might have stabbed a knife into the very core of who I am. But Father, I take that step of faith that says you are good, that you are love, that you are loving. And I choose to take that step of faith tonight, Father, to put my little hand in your big hand. Father, I choose to receive what you want to give to me because I know that it's good. And Father, I just ask that you would surround us with your love. Father, you would heal our hearts. Father, that you would cause our hearts to be open, that we can receive all that you want to give us. And Father, that you would lead us from this place into the wide, open, glorious place of freedom. Father, you desire to... Father, you want our hearts to be open simply so we can have restored relationship with you. That we can have life to the full. We can have abundant life. We can live that life that you've promised us. And Father, we recognize that we have an enemy who wants to steal, kill and destroy. And tonight we just say, in Jesus' name, back off. You know, in Jesus' name, you're a loser because of the work of the cross. That Jesus has triumphed and made a way for us to receive this life-changing love of the Father. So Father, I declare over everybody that what you're doing, Father, the enemy will not steal or destroy, but Father, you will cause that seed of love and seed of life to grow in us, to become strong. Father, I just ask you to surround your children with your love. Surround us all with your love, Father. And bring us to that place where, whether it's tonight, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's even in a month or 2 months or even a year, Father, that we would know that our heart is open and we're experiencing life and we're experiencing life to the full and we've received what you offered that woman at the well. Life-giving water. So Father, just surround us with your love and love us. Love us right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, Barry, if you want to come back.